because that's part of the credo. So the clergy was bitterly opposed to Jews, and then the peasants were opposed to the Jews. Feudalism existed in Eastern Europe until the 19th century. The serfs, for instance, were not freed in Russia until 1863, the same year that Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation of the United States. The Tsar Alexander freed the serfs. That's fully 500 years after it had died in Western Europe, and it is 600 years after the Magna Carta. I mean, you have to you realize what kind of time span we're talking about, kind of different cultures. The serfs in Russia are free only 120 years, which explains a great deal of the Russian subservience to totalitarian dictatorships, to why they say life is so much better now. Well, to us, we look at it and we see their lives as being at best gray and at worst such a despotic regime, and they don't see it that way, simply because of the fact where they're coming from, this is quite an improvement. And the serfs were the farmers. They were literally the slaves of the noblemen. But the noblemen did not enslave them directly. The noblemen always needed intermediaries. They always needed somebody, so to speak, to do their dirty work. And therefore, the noblemen wanted Jews. And the coming of the Jews sealed the enmity between the Jews and the basic peasant population of Poland, Lithuania, the Ukraine, Russia, etc. It's a, when you look at it as we're going to for the next few moments, it's a terrible situation. It is such a no-win situation that it's almost impossible to believe that the Jews survived it for as long as they did survive. The King Casimir gave the Jews certain economic benefits, as I mentioned before. The Jews in Eastern Europe were engaged in four major types of, you cannot even call it professions, but four lines of work when they had work. We'll see that as late as the 1800s, the Jewish unemployment rate in Eastern Europe was as high as 40%. A great deal of the nostalgic tradition that we have is simply based upon the fact that there was no work to be had. And therefore, if there was no work to be had, then if a person could say that his line of employment was that he was a shatran, which may be a basic productive profession in society and a necessary part of society, a matchmaker, but no one has ever built a an industrial economic base on shatranas. It's not United States Steel. And Jews, he was a badchen. He was somebody who went around and told jokes at a wedding, right? Again, he was, there were people that used to wake people in the morning to go to shul. That was his profession. It was a job. Because when you ran unemployment like that, so anything was a job in order to keep one's self-respect. And we'll see in the takonos, in the laws of the Jewish communities, as the unemployment problem progressed, so the bureaucracy grew. It had to grow. So there were, in certain Jewish communities, the person's occupation was that he was the gabbai in the shul. So they had gabbai number one, and gabbai number two, and gabbai number three. Then they had the gabbai number one, gabbai number two, gabbai number three for Monday. And then they had gabbai number one, gabbai number two, and gabbai number three for Thursday. And then they had one for Shabbos. The same, so they gave 12 people a job where one would suffice.